Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
This is CBS Island the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here. It is happy birthday, Bob Zimmerman. The month of February, it is the 28th. And we're waiting exciting events in commercial space. Bob covers it very carefully. We're also watching big space make the transition. Thank you very much, NASA. You funded SpaceX, and you look in willfully at all the other projects that are starting. We're going to begin with SpaceX, a commercial enterprise, dealing with intuitive machines, something called Athena. Bob, a very good evening to you. What is intuitive machines, and what are they up to?
Intuitive Machines built the lunar lander Athena. It was launched earlier this week by SpaceX. It's going to land 100 miles from the south pole of the moon. This will be the closest to anything that's ever landed at near the south pole. The launch was interesting because it also included the largest orbital tug ever, and that successfully deployed a NASA orbiter called Lunar Trailblazer, which is designed to try to do a global map of the water resources on the moon. It also deployed a privately built asteroid probe to a flyby of an asteroid from the company AstroForge. Unfortunately, both Lunar Trailblazer and AstroForge's Odin probe are having communications and power problems, and I don't know if they're going to be saved, but we'll wait and see. But the same mission launched Intuitive Machines and Athena. It's a privately built lander. It's got its customers is NASA, who it has 10 payloads on board that NASA has put on. One of those payloads is a hopper. This is going to land at the spot where the Viper rover was originally supposed to go. It's been canceled. But the goal of going to this spot was because they hoped to drive the rover into a nearby permanently shadowed crater. Well, they're going to instead use this Grace Hopper that's on board Athena to hop into that permanently shadowed area and possibly hop out, and therefore get some data of whether there's any kind of water resource within that permanently shadowed crater. It's mostly engineering. Even if they don't get any real good data, if they can demonstrate the ability to do these kind of hoppings on the moon, that will be of great engineering value. The most important thing is landing. I should point out that next week is going to be extremely exciting for the moon, because on Monday, the Blue Ghost lander from Firefly will be landing on the moon, not near the South Pole, but at a different location. And then on Friday, Intuitive Machines Athena will be landing. So that's two landers next week. And there's a third lander on the way, but it won't arrive till May, and that's from Japan's iSpace, also private. So it's going to be exciting on the moon, John.
Bombarding the moon. Now SpaceX itself, the Starship Super Heavy number 8 was delayed. Why, Bob?
We don't know why. They originally scheduled the 8th Super Heavy Starship orbital test flight for Friday today, but a couple of days later they announced they're going to delay it till March 3rd. That's this coming Monday. They did not really say why. It could be weather. It could be some technical cleanup they want to do. It also could be just simply the FAA not having yet issued them a launch license. They indicated that even though SpaceX has completed its investigation, knows what was wrong, and installed all the fixes, the FAA has not closed out its investigation of the Starship failure on the last test launch. Now, FAA doesn't know diddly squat. They can't do anything. They're not qualified. They basically have to just rubber stamp SpaceX's investigation, because of SpaceX, if it says it's ready to go, it's ready to go. I think that the delay here might be the last vestiges of the lawfare harassment from the Biden administration, and I think people in the Trump administration will soon be telling FAA to get off its duff and approve this launch license. We shall see. It could be SpaceX is applying political pressure on the FAA. They don't want them to play around, so they're scheduling these without the license to tell the FAA, issue it or you're going to have Trump on your back.
There must does attend cabinet meetings. It doesn't have to do much to put pressure on the FAA. All right. What is AST?
AST Space Mobile is a satellite company that's put up its own, it's putting up its own constellation of Bluebird satellites that are designed to provide cell phone to satellite coverage. Essentially, these satellites act like cell towers in space. This is similar to how SpaceX is also selling Starlink to phone companies. AST has contracts with both AT&T and Verizon, their networks, and both have done now tests proving that these satellites can transmit video calls using smartphones. So you're on your smartphone, you're in a dead spot where there's no cell towers, you use the satellite to do it instead, and they've demonstrated it, both companies. SpaceX has a deal with T-Mobile. We're getting to a point soon where there will be no dead spots on the Earth, John, because the satellites will fill in the gaps.
And we go to Varda and another commercial space. What is it, Bob?
All right. Varda is a company, American company, that is building orbital capsules for doing manufacturing or research in orbit. And the capsules go up for a period of time. They do their stuff, and then they return safely to Earth. They've already flown one capsule previously, about a year ago. It was up for about 6 months, about 4 months too long because they couldn't get the red tape from the FAA and the Air Force prevented them from landing initially. So they made a deal with a spaceport startup in Australia called Southern Range that runs the Coomba test range in near the south coast of Australia to land there. And this week, after 6 weeks in orbit, Varda's second capsule returned successfully in Australia. They haven't said what's on that, but they do, they use these capsules. The private companies, pharmaceuticals, for example, can do production of pharmaceuticals in orbit and then sell those pharmaceuticals for profit. And Varda's providing them access. They also have a deal with the Air Force Research Laboratory to do research on heat shields and other technology in orbit while they're there. So this is a new profit center for commercial space, John. New, very good thing.
Does Varda have a competitor? Because it's a unique idea.
No, actually, yes, it has several different competitors, some of which have not yet, most of which have not yet launched, but gearing up to do so, both in Europe and the United States. I should point out that this, their biggest competitor, if SpaceX wanted to, is SpaceX, because SpaceX's Dragon capsules could do exactly the same thing, and they're already proven. But SpaceX has got so much on its plate, it's doing other things instead.
Australia. Now, I've lost count of the proposed spaceports in Australia. I remember one in the north, one in the south. Where else, Bob?
Well, this is interesting. There are three different spaceports that are already in operation, or at least about to be in operation, in Australia. I've got a map on Behind the Black. The one that's going to do a launch in about 2 weeks, the first launch, is the Bowen spaceport. That's privately owned by Gilmore, and they're going to launch their own rocket there. But an interesting story, the Labor Party that runs Australia at the moment has now proposed giving a $2 million, creating a $2 million program to develop a business case for putting a spaceport in the unpopulated state of West Australia. All the other spaceports are on the eastern half of the continent. Western Australia is very empty. There's not a lot of people there, and there are two different companies that are proposing spaceports on that, in that province. And the Labor Party apparently wants to butter them up by offering this program to put something there. I'm not sure if this has any viability, but it would just add more spaceports to Australia, and that's an interesting thing, John.
Yes, it's a good launch zone, right, Bob? That's the Southern Hemisphere. Is that an advantage?
Well, it's interesting because two of the launch sites would be on the south coast of Australia, and those are really, they would have a limited value for equatorial launches, but they'd be very valuable for polar orbits. The third proposed one is actually not on the continent of Australia. It's on Christmas Island, which is about 1,000 miles west of Australia, near Indonesia, but it's actually Australian territory. One of these spaceport proposed companies wants to put their spaceport there, and they have a lot more launch opportunities from that site.
All right. The House of Representatives has awakened to the concern about Artemis, reading Bob's site, and they're scrambling around. They're acting as if they're on the Titanic. Are they, Bob?
Yes. This is an example of Congress critters trying to protect their pork. A House committee, it's a subcommittee of the Science Committee, held a hearing in which they brought in two swamp creatures, I'll call them bluntly that, two previous higher-ups in the NASA and space management community within the government, to argue that SLS is a great thing and shouldn't be canceled, or if it is canceled, it shouldn't be canceled until it does at least two more launches. And what this meeting really was is they were just trying to protect their pork. They were trying to argue right now that SLS shouldn't be canceled, or if you cancel it, let it go for at least another 2 or 3 years so they can continue to gather money in their districts. Artemis SLS specifically is a disaster. It should be canceled, and it looks like the Trump administration is leaning that way. Of course, you're going to get opposition from the pork masters in Congress who want to protect that pork. And I call it pork and a boondoggle because SLS has been under construction for almost 20 years, has launched only once to the moon. It's never launched a person. It can't establish a lunar base. It's too expensive, and it launches at best once a year, more like once every 2 years. This thing is a joke, and the only reason it exists is to funnel cash to the districts of congressmen.
Are they also Lunar Gateway Committee?
No, this particular meeting had to do with SLS and Orion and what might happen there. So they were very focused on that because that's where the big American bucks are. Lunar Gateway is interesting because even though there are American companies involved, I would say NASA has palmed off like more than half of it to international contracts with Europe and the UAE.
Lobbying for NASA to go where, Bob?
All right, this is more people in Florida calling for moving NASA's headquarters down there. Industry people suddenly came out and said this. And it was interesting to me. All on the same day, three different articles in the Florida press advocating moving NASA's headquarters to Florida. And the articles were almost repeating the same thing or suddenly discussing things that happened months ago. And so it struck me as that what's going on is that there was a lobbying effort within the Florida industry and political campaign, and they used the propaganda press to push it. I'm not suggesting it's a bad idea. I think it actually would be a good idea. You streamline the headquarters, get it out of D.C., there'd be a lot of positive things for that. But in this case, this is the propaganda press doing silly things.
Bob Zimmerman, happy birthday, Bob Zimmerman. Your subscriptions and donations welcome on the last day of February. We're going exploring. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.